I believe this is the only paper on Old Goa, and I think I'm the only architect speaking. So I have a double responsibility here today to represent not only Old Goa, but also architects. I hope this is not above me. So please excuse me, I'll read my notes. The abandonment of Old Goa was a very long process, which started early in the 17th century. From the time of the Marquis Pombal onwards, it was also a process that involved the systematic dismantling of buildings by the church and the state authorities, something that previously had happened only at a private level. It culminated with the extinction of the religious orders in 1855 and the closing down of the Arsenal de Marina, the Navy Arsenal, which was the last functioning building in Old Goa. From that time onwards, the only glimpses of life in Old Goa were the religious activities. Now, these activities were centered around the Sea Cathedral and, of course, the Feast of St. Francis Xavier. The first public exhibition of the relics in the 19th century was in 1859. And this triggered this public exhibition triggered a series of conservation interventions in Old Goa in the churches associated to the city. However, even within this 1859 exhibition, the church didn't hesitate to demolish one of the last the Palace of the Inquisition, which was next to the Sea Cathedral, and which was up to then one of the main tourist attractions in Old Goa, especially for foreign visitors. Further demolitions were carried out in 1870 by the suggestion of a committee specially appointed by the government to look into state-owned buildings, especially the buildings which had formerly begun belonging to the religious order. And here you can see in red all the buildings which were deemed to be dismantled, buildings which were either standing or in ruins. From some of these buildings, only a small element was kept, like the main facade or both cross. And in blue, you can see the buildings which were decided to be kept, to be maintained. Now, this explains how geographer Lopes Mins, who was here in the 1860s, sketched buildings like, or ruins like Dominican Convent and the College of the Papal College in the Holy Hill, and how in the 1870s almost all these ruins, all the traces had disappeared. Next we have the 1890 exhibition, and during this exhibition, which was a bit more important than the previous ones, there was a big clearance work here in the area between the Sea Cathedral and the Bon Jesus Church. So this whole area, which had been previously covered with jungle, was cleared of vegetation, was completely leveled, and was renamed, predictably, St. Francis Xavier Square. And here, all the activities relating to the public exhibitions and also the yearly exhibitions of St. Francis and the relics in December were to take place. So this was really the first, one of the first urban interventions in Old Goa, in the abandoned city, which tried to give back some kind of life, urban life, to Old Goa, at least during the time of this business. However, during this very precise exhibition, the church didn't hesitate to demolish, the archdiocese didn't hesitate to demolish the church of Nossa Senhora da Serra. And this was probably the very last systematic demolition of building in Old Goa. And therefore, one can rightly say, and this is my first point, that the systematic demolition of Old Goa's architectural structures, in ruins or not, by state or church authorities, was a process that lasted between about 1760 and 1890. Dismantling of houses by private residents, probably began as a tendency early in the 17th century. So combining these two processes caused almost complete dismantling of the city, and in a process which is quite unique within global urban history and which still remains to be researched. Now, a couple of years after the 1890 exhibition, the debris of these churches were still to be seen in their original sites, and among them the empty tomb of Constant Quay was found. Now, this was an important archaeological finding, and it triggered the creation of the first museum in Goa, which was the Jaomuseo Arqueológico in Brazil. This museum, which functioned first in this building near Catholic Church, so this is the first premises of the museum. So following the creation of the museum, and influenced not only by deified activities in British India, but also by the Lisbon Geographical Society in Portugal, a permanent archaeological committee was established in Goa in 1895. One of its first tasks was caring for the museum, and also it started publishing the Gavião Português from 1904 onwards, and this gave the committee much more visibility. Therefore, in Old Goa, from the beginning of the 20th century onwards, we have basically two main institutions operating in the abandoned city. We have the archdiocese and we have the permanent committee. And together, they carried out not only, the committee carried out not only conservation works, but also the first archaeological excavation. Now, this excavation was just behind the museum, in the place formerly occupied by the Viceroy's Palace. Although nothing really important was found in this first excavation, the documents pertaining to it and other sources allow us to have an insight to another structure, which is which has often been misunderstood, and that is the Adil Shah Gate. In fact, the Adil Shah Gate is not a gate. It never stood in its original location. It never had its original, its present form. It never stood there. And it probably was, it's not a gate, it's a typical false ruin. It was discovered, these two lintels were discovered by Lajos Nunes in 1860. He put them upright, he sketched them in a completely different scale. And then the committee set them up there. You can see other stones being set up here, just as they were also later set up near the St. Francis Convent and where the museum presently is. Further exhibitions of the body in 1910, 1922, and 1931 brought other improvements to Goa, such as telephone lines, historical signage, and improved and better access roads. The permanent committee also started the regular work of cleaning vegetation in the main ruins of Old Goa and carried out two other important archaeological excavations or debris clearance in the Augustinian Convent and in the Miraculous Church Convent. The committee also helped to make the first archaeological plan of Old Goa from 1910. The 1930s appear to have been the most active years of the committee, with further excavations like at the Brahmapuri sacred tank and also other conservation works. And in 1932, a large group of sites were declared national monuments, and they had strict laws to protect them. In 1939, in an article in the Avian an author even went so far as to suggest the creation of an archaeological neighborhood in the whole Holy Hill area, comprising the various ruins of the buildings still there. Now the next exhibition of 1952 was completely different because it had after the independence of India, Portugal started a propaganda campaign related to, in other things, to St. Francis Xavier and to its presence, to try to justify its presence in India. So this exhibition had an international dimension. It had many foreign dignitaries, it had many associated events all over Goa. And also related to the exhibition, we have the first mission which really did an in-depth study of Old Goa's architectural buildings, which is the Mário Tavares Chicó mission. And they produced these drawings, which are well known. Another well-known fact is the interventions of architect Baltazar Castro in the 1950s. Baltazar Castro intervened in places like the Bon Jesus, Viceroy's Arch, St. Catherine's Chapel, Sea Cathedral, St. Francis, St. Paul's Facade, and Santa Monica. And Baltazar Castro's polemic options in Old Goa, especially the removing of lime plaster from many buildings, are still a strong contribution in Old Goa today. So all this renewed activity from the 1952 exhibition onwards triggered the creation of the so-called Gracias Committee in 1959. This committee was formed by the last governor, the colonial governor, José Silva, and its objective was clearly to reintegrate Bogo in its historical, archaeological, and religious setting or framework. The committee was set up in, around Dr. Daniel Vesic and included architect Negeri from the Public Works Department, and other representatives from the colonial administration and from the archdiocese. It was divided into three groups. One group was supposed to elaborate the overall urban proposal for Ulloa. The second group was to decide and look into the adaptive reuse of Ulloa's buildings. And the third group was had to join all this material and draft a report. The committee met in 14 sessions between May and August 1959. Besides the report, also submitted was drawing 893, where the committee sketched new roads, landscaping proposals, and urban improvements for the historical city of Ulloa. So together, the report and these drawings give us a clear insight as to what were the intentions of the committee. In the report, the committee first tries to explain the causes for the abandonment of Old Goa, then talks about the rebuilding proposal from the Marquis Pombal, the shifting of the capital to Mourangueil. Secondly, it explains its own method and interventions and divides the proposed plan for Old Goa in two phases. The first phase was urgent conservation and repair works in the main buildings of Old Goa. And the second phase foresaw the opening of roads, squares, general landscaping, public spaces, sewage, and other infrastructures. So the most outstanding proposals by the committee, by the Sears committee, were to happen just here on the riverfront of the Mandovi River, especially here on the Viceroy's Arch, and of course here between Bongeas and Sea Cathedral, and also here where the Gandhi Circle presently is, Holyhill area, and so forth. Although the official inauguration was in 1960 when the Minister of the Presidency visited Goa, they had the works that already began. Included in the project was a stadium, a courthouse, military barracks, and a guest house. But only one important building in Old Goa was built anew, and this was the Pius X Institute. This institute, which substituted the first building of the museum, the first museum, was designed, probably designed by architect Isolinka, and it was heavily influenced by the previous building, which was demolished. The second point I'd like to make, the Gracias Committee's plan for war was imbued with a national spirit common to the celebrations and official discourses of the Stadtmund. Due to lack of general lack of resources, there was no grandiose rebuilding schemes for Goa, or even an overall plan, coherent plan for the development of Goa. One can only see the Gracias plan as an attempt to better showcase the principle of the main churches of Goa within the logic of religious celebration, growing tourism, and improving also with allusions to Fatima and other pilgrimage and museum centers. So all this plan was centered around the public exhibitions of St. Francis Xavier. Well, to conclude, since 1961, the ASI has had big responsibilities in conserving and maintaining the buildings of Old Goa, and is also the sole sponsor and organizer of excavations in Goa, archaeological excavations in Old Goa. One would say that the initial approach of the ASI was very conservative. They actually carried on the works which were being done in December 1961, like the Pius X Institute and the works here between the Bon Jesus Cathedral between Bon Jesus and Sea Cathedral. And they actually let the statue of Camões, which was probably the most important symbolic element of the whole central area of the plan, stay in its place, I believe, until the late 1980s. However, the ASI has also been criticized precisely for not having enough authority and not preventing the encroachments around the main monuments in Old Goa. It has started only one major excavation for debris clearance in the archaeological in St. Augustine's convent. The first phase began in 1989. The second phase began in 2004 under the tenure of Superintendent Tahir. This second phase led to the finding of the burial place of Queen Ketevan and the coping stone of her urn. Finally, I would like to very briefly conclude by saying that although there has been only one excavation in Old Goa so far by the ASI, I believe that there is hope for another very important excavation, which would be the excavation of the Muslim moat from the pre-Portuguese Muslim Islamic wall. And this moat and this wall have been forgotten because they have been completely submerged in the core of Old Goa and the abandoned city. The moat was completely cluttered up with debris from the wall and from archaeological rubbish. And it's my opinion that if excavated, it would bring to light many of the pre-Portuguese elements of Old Goa, like stones from mosques and Hindu temples. And I believe that that would add another dimension, much more important to Old Goa. It would put Old Goa in the global tourism map. And that would contribute also, I believe, to the global state. Thank you.